would lecture on Charles Spurgeon, and I would sit in for those lectures with my buddy Charles Ware and some other, you know, preachers, preacher boys. And we, these were special times. They were great times. And I remember Bird Carter said something. He said, you know, I have to apologize to you students because we who are your teachers, we are inferior to the teachers that we had. He said, the men that we had, you felt as though Jesus Christ was in your presence, and you could sense that around these men. And that doesn't mean they were stuffy, holier-than-thou people, but godly, godly men. And I remember that. And tonight, I want to start a series for Wednesday night, and it's a teaching series. I don't want it to go over your head. I always fear that. But it's a teaching series on the subject of what is revival. I believe it's a great need today. And it's misunderstood. And it's needed personally. It's needed in our youth groups, in our schools, in our churches. It is so needed. And the best way I can describe revival is revival, and the name of my message is number one, Steps for Your Revival. This will be the first message, Steps for Your Revival. I believe there are steps and stages of revival. It's like when I go deer hunting and I climb up a mountain or climb up a place, you take one step and then another. I was out at Sabotnik's and I climbed a tree stand and I went from one step to the other. I had my cushion in my teeth and my gun I had to hold with the other hand, and then one hand on the step and climb one step and look. And when you got to the top, what a view, what a view, what a view. Steps for your revival. And wouldn't it be great if you took these steps with us as we do it? And so revival is a supernatural work of God by means of the Spirit of God to make a subnormal church get back to New Testament normal power and practice. Let me say that again. Revival is a supernatural work of God by means of the Holy Spirit to make a subnormal church get back to New Testament normal power and practice. Now, you remember that in the book of Acts, it's a transition. And what was happening in the book of Acts is that on the day of Pentecost, the harvest of the church began. The church didn't begin on the day of Pentecost. Christ started the church. But the church was given the permanent indwelling and the beginning of the empowering of the Holy Spirit to bring in a harvest. So the church was baptized in and with the Holy Spirit, and then by the Spirit into union with Jesus and with one another. And they also were overflowing with power to proclaim the gospel, and you see that in the book of Acts. So revival is a supernatural work of God by means of the Spirit of God to make a subnormal church get back to a New Testament norm of power and practice. And so what happened on the day of Pentecost as far as the power of the Holy Spirit is said in Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts. And so the church so often lacks the power of the Holy Spirit. And what you see in the book of Acts is what I call the P's of the early church. The P's. You know, Peter Piper picked up those P's. And what's the first P? Well, Jesus said it. He said, now if you want, and this isn't repeated because we already have the Holy Spirit, but he says, if you want the Holy Spirit, you've got to pray. And so he says, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And so he said, you've got to pray. Well, how many days did they pray? They wound up praying for 10 days. 10 days they prayed and asked God for revival. And so they prayed, and they were asking God for the Holy Spirit. God answered their prayer on that 10th day, which happened to be the day of Pentecost, which was a feast that celebrated the gathering in of the Jewish people of their crops, a harvest, you see. And that was the beginning to bring people to Christ. And churches that are not growing, churches that are not seeing people saved, churches that are not seeing people baptized, churches that are not seeing changed lives, they need to be praying for this power, because the power is not to be a repeat of revelatory sign gifts. The power is not to have an experience where you say, oh, I just feel so good. You know, D.L. Moody had a guy stand up. He said, I want to tell you about my experience of the Holy Spirit. Moody said to him, has your experience caused you to see souls saved? Have you won people to Christ? No, but I had this one. Sit down, sir. Amen. Sit down, sir. See, Moody had a couple of Pentecostal ladies praying he would be baptized with and in the Holy Ghost for power. And he was. He was. But you know what? He started seeing more people saved and baptized than ever before. Before that experience, he saw people saved and baptized. He was building a huge Sunday school in Chicago. But after that, oh my, the effect. And this is something that is so sorely needed today by the church. Now, it's in the book of Acts. And you see the P's. I'll go through them. Not Peter, Piper, pick the pack. I'll go through the P's. But tonight, what I want to do is begin a teaching on this thing called Steps of Your Revival. And it's something that Paul taught, not just experience. He knew about it in the Jerusalem, the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, Holy Spirit-filled church. But he wanted it for the Ephesians church, and he got it for the Ephesian church. He wanted it for every church that he planted, and he got it. Why? He taught on it in Ephesians 3 and in Ephesians 1. And I'm going to touch on that tonight and try to build that first step and that second step of revival. Steps for your revival. And so you see in Acts 1, 10 days, it starts always with what, P, Brother Eric?
Prayer for power.
Prayer for power. So you can bring in a harvest. If you're not interested in bringing in a harvest, then you don't share the heart of Jesus. You're praying for your big toe. Well, thank God for your big toe. I pray for things in my body. But your first prayer, power to bring in a harvest. Is there not a cause? Do you have a cause outside of yourself that makes you forget yourself, young teenager, adult? Or are you just praying for your little self-centered life? It's sick, it's sorry, and that's where so many people are today. We got to get above that, beyond that. And so, the first one is prayer for power to bring in that harvest. And then what do you see as a result of that? The second P is power. They did receive power. In fact, you see the effects of how many people got saved. How do you explain what happened down there in Texas through Brother Hiles? It's the power of God. How do you explain it in D.L. Moody, the power of God? How do you explain it in Jonathan Edwards, the power of God? And on and on it goes. Man after man. But it's something that you can have. It says it's for your sons and daughters. It's for your old men and young men. It's for males and females. Read it. I'm talking about a baptism of power of the Holy Spirit. And you pray for that so you could gather a harvest. You receive that power. And then what did they do? What was the next P?
Proclaiming.
Proclaim the gospel. They got the gospel out. I was out at the mall tonight. I said, Lord, open my door, then open my mouth and open somebody's heart. I went by this young lady. She was at this stand selling something in the mall there. And I saw she kind of just looked at me. And I thought, I'm going to circle back around. I'm going to check this young lady out. I don't usually witness to ladies, but I usually always go for men, usually in their 20s. It's my target. But I just felt, nope, this young lady, I'm going to talk to her. I circled back around. I started striking up a conversation with her about the business there and ask her questions about the business. And she said it's slow in the middle of the week and so forth. Her name was Molly. Found out she's married, has 3 kids, lives in Dunmore. Found out what her husband did. And I told her about families. And I said, what do you think I am? And then I pulled out my card. I'm a pastor. Went through the 2 spiritual questions and led her to trust Christ. And she's Roman Catholic background. And, you know, this is what each one of us needs. And there is the proclaiming of the gospel, the power of God. You should be proclaiming the gospel anyway. But when you see your need for the power of God when you're proclaiming the gospel, man, you go after it. And so proclaiming the gospel, well, what did that bring? When you proclaim the gospel and you have the power of God, what does that bring?
People.
People. People get saved. People. And wherever you see the power of God, people say, oh, I don't like to talk about numbers. Well, the early church grew from 120 to 3,000 to multitudes. Some people say the church in Jerusalem had 25,000, some 100,000. You look at these churches like at Ephesus, how do you explain that? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you explain the First Baptist Church? I went out there. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I could see it. I'm just saying to you, proclaim the gospel, and you'll see you get the power of God, and people will get saved. And then when those people get saved, something happens, and it's something we don't like to claim. And one of the men helped me out with it. What do we see then?
Persecution.
Persecution. There's going to be persecution. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, I said it Sunday night. I said Sunday night that when you're doing good, evil will attack you. But if you're not doing good, if you're just being a goody-two-shoes, evil does not worry about you. You're not going to give evil trouble. But when you're getting people saved by the power of the Holy Spirit, well, that unholy spirit takes notice of you. And that's why I mentioned Charlie Kirk getting shot in the neck going out in these college campuses. It takes notice of him. We honestly don't have many that are giving the devil trouble today. But we want to be that kind of church. And we want to pray and we want to receive power of the Holy Spirit to get people saved. We want to proclaim the gospel and then people will get saved and baptized. And then we'll see, unfortunately, but it's got to happen, persecution. Well, then, what does that lead to? Persecution? Does that stop the church? I like what Erica Kirk said. She said, I'm praying for revival. I'm praying for revival. And what comes after persecution?
Potluck picnics.
I don't think so. He knows better. Ho, ho, ho.
Back to prayer.
Back to prayer. Prayer. And that's where we are in the book of Acts. After Pentecost, Acts 2, you see them getting persecuted after the whole cycle. And then in Acts 4, what do you see? They're back at prayer again. And you see this prayer meeting, and what do you see? You see them filled with the Holy Spirit's power. And the place, remember, was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went out and spoke the word of God with boldness. You know, I think it was last Wednesday or Sunday night when I was preaching. But I said, I'm going to go out soul winning after church because I wanted to go out. I think it was last Wednesday, but I'm not sure. But it was after either Wednesday or Sunday service. I said, I'm going to go out soul winning. And I went out of here, and I believe the Holy Spirit's power was still with me. And I was going out. By the way, why just have the Holy Spirit's power for God's people? I mean, I want it for God's people. But how about going out there in the world with it? And I said, I'm going to go out. And I went out. I went up to Walmart, and I was doing some shopping. But I was not shopping mainly for things. I was shopping for people. And, yeah, it was for Thanksgiving. So it was Wednesday. And I remember I was preaching on prescription on Wednesday. That's right. Prescription for peace and provision and so forth. Philippians. I went out. And when I went out, I saw a young lady about 20 years old, and I asked her where the Pepperidge stuffing was. And she said, we're sold out. She said, but I just got two from the back, the last two, and I put it on the shelf. She went over to try to find it, and it was gone. I said, they got it already. I said, there's no stuffing. My wife wants me to get stuffing for the turkey. She's got 14 people. I got to get the stuffing. So she didn't have it. So I got talking to her. She told me she had a cold. I talked to her about vitamin C. And then I asked her the two spiritual questions and led her to Christ. And it was such a blessed time. She said to me when I asked her the questions, I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking right what you're asking me. It's interesting. You should come and talk to me. She was like prepared. Gave her the gospel. She prayed to receive Christ. I went to the next row, and my wife had given me a haircut, and there's these four men 20 years old. That's perfect for me. Those are the kind of guys I'm looking for. Four guys 20 years old, big, good-looking guys. They're right there in the eye. And they go by me, and they say, man, what are you? You're dressed. What job do you have? I said, what do you think? I'm a senator, maybe? A congressman? A president of a company? What do you think? And they said, man, one guy said, I love your haircut. It's cut real high up. And I said, I didn't tell him my wife just gave me a haircut. I said, yeah, my barber, I paid like $300 for it. No, I didn't. But anyway, I started talking to these young men, young, good-looking men, and they were so open. And when it came time to pray to receive Christ, I was surprised. They all prayed loudly right in the aisle as people are going by in unison after me. It was like, Lord Jesus, you know, right loudly. We got done with the prayer and they started asking me questions, spiritual questions from the Bible. And I started answering them. Pastor, tell us. It was just like we were having a service right there in Walmart. And then this lady comes up, the young lady, who I had just led to the Lord, and she came up with the two bags of stuffing, and she said, here, I found the bags. And I said, see, this is a sweet girl right here, guys. I said, you need to meet this girl. I said, we have a class, a singles class. I'm trying to build your class, Sunday school. I said, you guys can come to this class? You could come to that class. And, you know, it's great. I'm talking about prayer for power. Preach the gospel. Get people saved. And you will see persecution. You will have problems from the devil because you are doing something that many people are not doing. And Dr. Luke wrote about it here in Acts 4:33. Here's what he says after that second prayer meeting. He says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. By the way, don't look like you're celebrating a funeral tonight. I know some of us have had funerals and it's difficult. Sean Merritt's getting a hold of me and he wants me to visit him. His mother, 64 years old, just had a massive heart attack. Shirley Merritt. How many of you know of Shirley? Come to this church. And he's hurting. But you know what? Our loved ones in Christ, even if they die, they're coming out of that grave. Our Savior conquered death. We don't know when death is going to hit us. I mean, just Benji Rodriguez. So sudden. And we don't know. But we do know this, Jesus conquered death.
Yes.
And we do know this, that our Savior is alive. And so it says that that great grace was upon them all. They were witnesses of a living Christ, a resurrected Christ. Great grace was upon them all. You say, what is great grace? What does that mean? Great grace is the desire and power from God to live the Christian life. You see, some people just going through the motions. Some people just doing their duty. Some kids, they no more have revival than the man of the moon. They're in the youth group. They dress right. They look right on the outside. But they're just going through the motions. They're not motivated by the Spirit of God. I pray all the time, God, the Holy Spirit, press me to the Bible. And may the Bible and the Holy Spirit press me to the pulpit. I want to be ready when I step up here. Amen. Paul said, I'm ready. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Would to God our young people would get a revival.
Yes.
And in churches that are revived, it's usually the teenagers that are doing the most soul winning. You see, teenagers, you got a lot of energy. You can use that energy to go after the world and after sin. And you got more energy to go after sin than anybody. Or you can use that energy to serve God. And that's what you need to be doing. When you're in neutral and you're not either aggressively serving God nor going into sin, you are backsliding. Because a car in neutral is on a hill. That's where we are. We're going up a hill. And if you put a car in neutral and you're on a hill, what's going to happen? You're going to go backwards. And so we need to go forward with the power and blessing of revival. And if you have revival, you've got these two things. Now look at it. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness, and great grace was upon them all. And so everybody in the church had a great desire to serve God and the power to do God's will for their lives and walk with God. And the apostles led the way in witnessing, although others did it as well, as we know from Acts chapter 8. But it's one thing to look at the book of Acts, and tonight I'm just going to give you the introduction to the steps of revival. But it's one thing to look at the book of Acts and see what revival is there in the book of Acts. And you do see it in the Jerusalem church. It's another thing to see what the apostle taught about it in the epistles. What he taught about this having the power of the Holy Spirit to bring in a harvest and to experience what we would define as revival, and to want that in every church, and to teach on it, and to share with the churches his prayer for them to experience this. And so it is, I'm going to say, it's sad, it's rare today to see men of God that are filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember Tom Williams when I was at Bible college. And I remember him being the staff evangelist at Baptist Bible College. I remember Dr. Wendell Kempton met up with him while he was preaching across the country. And Tom was an evangelist, and he had been called by God to be an evangelist. He worked with a Coca-Cola company, and he was out there, and he was selling Coca-Cola. He drove a truck, and he had signs, and they said, you've got to put on your truck signs, Coke goes with booze. And he said, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to advertise for booze. I'm sorry. And he was the number one salesman for Coca-Cola. But he said, I won't do it. And they were going to fire him because of that. But he took a stand, and God delivered him, and he kept his job. But then his company was on strike, and he was a believer and serving God in a local church, an independent fundamental Baptist church out west there. He's from San Angelo, Texas. And he was out there, and he was marching the picket picket line. You know how unions do when they want raise of pay and you have to march the picket line and nobody's working. He was out there in the picket line and he said, God, the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, Tom, I'm calling you to be an evangelist. I want you to leave Coca-Cola. I want you to leave the picket line. And he went out to be an evangelist. He didn't have any meetings, but he went. And his first meetings were out west in California somewhere, and he kept preaching, nothing happened, and then revival fell, and people were getting saved. And this guy, he stood out. He stood out to me. He made an impact in my life, like Dr. Carter said. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember a guy named Louis Konopka. He became a pastor, but he was in our dorm. I was the dorm president. He was in the dorm. A lot of these guys became great preachers. Louis became a preacher. I remember he went to Switzerland, La Brie, Switzerland, met with Francis Schaeffer, spent time out there. Louis was quite a guy. While Tom was there speaking to us in the dorm, I had the meeting set up, and he said, Tom, you stand out. I could put you in a room with 100 men, and you'll stand out every time. He said, what's the difference between you and a lot of preachers today? He said, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Never forgot it. Never forgot it. And he was. And he was. And what I'm saying to you is, this is what is needed today, and here is this explanation of revival and really revival praying in the book of Acts, and we're going to get into this, but I want you to read this week. It is a prayer for revival, and it's in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to go from verse 14 all the way through verse 21 in this series of messages. Tonight, I'm just giving you the introduction. But I want to say this tonight. I want to have two things, and they go together like peanut butter and jelly, and that's soul winning and the power of God. As long as you put that on fresh milled ground bread, amen, which I'm eating. Mindy's got that. I'm loving it. I ate that bread this morning, and I want to tell you, I could not eat all day. I still haven't eaten anymore. That was in the morning. My wife made me, I was shoveling. I was out there early in the morning shoveling our driveway, and I came in, I ate that breakfast, but that bread was part of it, and I cannot eat anymore. But I'm trying to say to you tonight that soul winning and the power of God go together like peanut butter and jelly, or peanut butter and honey with a little cinnamon. I don't know what you want to put on it, but it goes together. And God wants this church to experience going to normal New Testament power and practice, to have great grace and great power to witness, and great grace to live it. You say, Pastor, where does it start? We're going to look into it next week more, but it starts with what this is all about tonight, prayer. And we should worry about nothing, pray about everything. But what is the main thing? The main thing is getting people saved. You know, there was a pope in the days just beyond the apostolic era, the early church era, you know, where the church left its first love and got a hold of power in this world. They got a hold of this world's power, and they wanted influence and power in the world. But without the power of God, that's worthless. Without the power of God, that's worthless. Now, Daniel had power in the world, Shadrach, me, but without the power of God, that's worthless. You see? Charlie Kirk had influence, but he had the power of God. But you need it. Now, independent fundamental Baptists need it. That's what we need. You know what Scranton Revival needs in the youth group? It needs a revival. You know what it needs in the church? It needs a revival. And so they prayed for revival, and this early church man went to Rome. And now the church had gotten under the head pastor of the big church at Rome, and he began to run things, and so it became the Roman Universal Church. No longer were individual local churches under the headship of Jesus Christ. They were now under the headship of the pastor or the bishop of Rome, and that's where popery started. Amen? Nicolaitanism, ruling the people. The Roman whore church, we call it, the Catholic Church. And when that happened, the Pope was showing off all the wealth the church had, the gold and the silver. We had a bunch of silver given to us. We just bought a bus with it. Gold and the silver, and they were, and the Pope was bragging, oh, look at all the money we got. Look at the gold we have. And what do you think of that? And he was talking to an old country preacher that was not a Roman Catholic. He was a Baptist guy. He said, what do you think of that? He said, well, he said, you're not like Peter. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He said, you can't say that. You got plenty of silver and gold. He said, but like Peter, you can't say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, take up your bed and walk. You can't do that. They lack the power of God. Where are the people walking and leaping and praising God? Because they've been saved out of alcoholism. They've been saved out of fornication. They've been saved out of this world and the wealth of this world. And where are they? New converts saved by the grace of God. Listen, tonight we need a radical change. And this is a call for revival. This is our contribution. Don't let the blood of the martyrs like Charlie Kirk be spilled by witches and devil-possessed people in vain. Answer their unholy fire with the fire of God, with the power of God. Oh, you can have it. You have it accessible to you. We'll preach on that next week. We'll teach on it from Ephesians chapter 3. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. And I'm just going to ask you one question. Are you stirred up? Are you